Ford was born in Jackson, Mississippi. He developed a serious interest in literature while in college. After briefly attending law school, he dropped out and entered the creative writing program at the University of California, Irvine, to pursue a master's of fine arts. His professors there included Oakley Hall and E.L. Doctorow, writers whose work influenced him profoundly. Ford published A Piece of My Heart, his first novel, in 1976. A second novel, The Ultimate Good Luck, followed in 1981. In the interim, he briefly taught at Williams College and Princeton. Despite literary acclaim, Ford retired from fiction writing to become a writer for the New York magazine Inside Sports. When the magazine folded in 82, Ford returned to fiction writing with The Sports Writer, a novel about a failed novelist turned sports writer who undergoes an emotional crisis following the death of his son. The novel became Ford's breakout book, named one of Time magazine's 5 best books of 1986. It was also a finalist for the Penn Faulkner Award for Fiction. Ford followed this with Rock Springs, a story collection set mostly in Montana. His next novel, Wildlife, was published in 1990. Ford had become increasingly sought after as an editor and contributor to various projects. For example, Ford edited the 1990 Best American Short Stories, the 1992 Granta Book of the American Short Story, and the 1998 Book of the American Long Story. In 1995, Ford's career reached a high point with the release of Independence Day, a sequel to The Sports Writer, featuring the continued story of its protagonist, Frank Bascom. The novel became the first to win both the Penn Faulkner Award and the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. The Lay of the Land in 2006 continued, and according to Ford, ended the Frank Bascom series. And now, Ford has published Canada to wide acclaim. Welcome, Richard. Thanks so much for coming to join the book report today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be get to talk to you.
All right. Well, the obvious first question, why is the book called Canada?
Because I wanted to call it Canada, just like the reason all my books are called what they're called, because that's what I wanted to call it. Beyond that, half of it is set in Canada. And beyond that, I, for all of my life, since I was 18 anyway, I'm 68 now, so that's a long time, when I would go to Canada, I always felt this wonderful sensation of affirmation. Part of it I know has to do with just leaving America. America is such an exigent country. It's a country that just bangs on you all the time. You're always in America bumping up against other people's independence, their rights, their privileges. It's a country. I'm not saying it's a violent country, though it probably is that too. But it's a country that just beats on you. When I go to Canada, and of course I'm a stranger there. I'm not a citizen, so this is not a citizen's view. Citizens of Canada may disagree with that. I feel a sense of tolerance. I feel a sense of exigence lifting off of me. I feel a sense of refuge in a way. And I never really had a good vocabulary for those sensations. And so writing fiction for me is trying to find a vocabulary for sensations that I have that otherwise wouldn't have any but conventional ones.
So actually, I know much of the book is set in Saskatchewan. Have you spent a great deal of time there?
I've spent enough time there to be moved by it. Over the course of, I would say, well, let's see. I forget how long it is since 1985. Is it 30 years or 20? It's a long time anyway. I go there quite a lot. Yeah, I go there to hunt, and I go there to just tour around, and I go there sometimes to visit friends. And so going to Saskatchewan has become part of my life, yeah.
So this is your first novel for about six years. Had you been working on the book that length of time?
No, but I did start writing a book called Canada back in 1989. But then for a variety of reasons, that project got set off. And I, over the course of the intervening years, I stored away notes in my little notebook that I had for Canada and kept pretty thoughtful of the whole process that maybe someday I would get around to write a book called Canada. And so when I finished The Lay of the Land about 7 years ago, I began after several months to think, well, could I write another book if I wanted to? And I thought, well, maybe this is the moment to get out that envelope with all those notes and all that notebook that I had been keeping. And I went through it, and I had a lot from 20 years. And so, yeah, I did. I had a book.
The main character is Del. And as the story begins, he's a 16-year-old and quite a philosopher. How was it for you to write him so central to the story?
It was easy. I mean, I was once a 16-year-old boy, 15-year-old boy. So I had a pretty good idea of what was on the minds of 15-year-old boys, although he's not like me. In no way is he like me. I was a troublesome boy, and he is not a troublesome boy. But also, the voice of the book, that is to say, the speaker of the book, is a 65-year-old man recollecting this catastrophic year in his life in which his parents were put in jail, robbing a bank, murders that he was both a witness to and somewhat an accomplice in. So from time to time, whenever I felt necessary, the language can assume the responsibility of a 65-year-old man and relinquishes at that moment the more boyish mentality of a 15-year-old. So it's a conjoined voice in a way, quite malleable for my purposes. And actually, you know, this is my job, so I can't really say I think it's that magical. It's what I set out to do.
Speaking of magical, I wrote some just kind of a couple of sentences down from the book, and they're about Del's parents, who are a very odd match. His mother, Neva, is a Jewish, college-educated poet. Their father, Bev, is a good old boy from Alabama. And you wrote about them. They were a swirl in the thickening confusion of their own lives, not being made for each other, probably not physically desiring each other as they briefly had, becoming only satellites of each other. Amazing prose like that. Does it just flow out of your pen within that sentence, or is that something as that kind of imagery? Does it require special attention?
Well, I don't really remember writing that, but I kind of remember other passages like it. And you know, to write a passage like that, and I'm really flattered that you think it's nice sentences, everything's in the preparation, in the sense that those sentences are nourished by whatever dramatics have come into the book before that. So you've been dealing with these dramatics, namely parents who love their children but don't really adore each other anymore, who don't dislike each other but who are aware that as time goes on, they are becoming increasingly distant. That is a kind of personal dramatics that is full of tension, it's full of anxiety, it's full of something needing to be resolved. Resolved by somehow the book that in which it occurs. So when I get down to the end of a paragraph like that, I am pushed forward to write sentences of that sort by all of the things that have come before. So it's not so much to say that writing those kinds of sentences is easy. It's neither easy nor hard. It just, those sentences seem natural to me. They seem like what the book requires at that moment.
Bev, the dad, is from Alabama. You were born in the South, in Mississippi. Is he someone that you, was there a character that you knew that you actually kind of fashioned him about?
Well, since I spent 18 years in Mississippi, my first 18, and then some considerable time in the 80s and considerable time in recently, probably I would draw upon a whole lifetime of people that I knew. But I never knew anybody precisely like Bev Parsons, no. I actually think that I put Southerners in books of mine because principally I don't write about the South. I've never, since my first novel, written about the South. And I kind of want to be able to say, you know, I could do this if I wanted to, but I choose not to. So I put Southerners in to situations which are not Southern. Chiefly, all those Frank Bascom books that I wrote in the 80s and 90s and in the early 2000s, Frank is a Southerner. But I usually put Southerners into books and have them be in situations which are not themselves Southern. In that way, probably, it lets me draw on my own experience to some extent.
I want wanted to ask you, I know that when you were getting your master's, you had some incredible professors, including E.L. Doctorow. I, in my years of doing this show, and when I'm meeting audiences and so on, I always feel that avid readers feel that they also have a book inside them. Many of them have the book in the drawer. Were there some gems that you remember from your professors that you could share with avid readers who are also wannabe writers?
I remember Edgar saying, and this is probably the only thing I remember because it made such a huge impression on me. And when I say it, it probably won't make such a huge impression on your listeners. He said to me once, he said, you know, listen to that little voice in the back of your head. He said, because that little voice speaks only to you. That's kind of, it's kind of runic in a way. It's kind of mysterious in a way. But I've always done it. Now, I haven't always done what that little voice said, but I would never just shout it down. But if I had a doubt about something, if I had an instinct about something affirmative, I would always try to pay attention to that, you know, because generally all of us are at the mercy of all kinds of voices, not our own, that we're hearing, editors, spouses, friends, readers, critics, all kinds of people are saying things to us about what we ought to be doing. One of the things that's probably hardest for writers to do is to know when you and you alone are the sponsor of something, when you and you alone are hearing something faithful and useful. As again, it isn't necessarily going to be the case that you will heed what that voice says, but always hear it.
Is the year 1960, which is the beginning of the book, why is that so central? Why were the characters placed in that year?
Because I wanted them to be. You know, that's going to always be my answer. You know, fundamentally, I mean, I could give you an answer and say, well, 1960, it's the transition between the 50s and the 60s. And maybe, in fact, that was something that was in my thinking. Maybe it's because my father died when I was 16, and so in 1960. Maybe it seems for that reason to be transitional in the child's life. But finally, you know, you can boil things down backwards to a bunch of reasons that you hang on a decision that you make after the fact. But chiefly it was just because I wanted to. That's when I felt most comfortable doing it. And again, it's me listening to that little instinctual voice which says, call your novel Canada. Have it set in 1960. Okay, I will.
All right. So what's next for you? Are you already working on the next book?
A long snooze. That's what.
Well deserved.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll be taking it deserved or not. I usually let the whole vocation of writer kind of sink back down to zero after I finish a long project and a book is published and it has its life at first, because it goes on having its life, you hope, afterwards. And then I just wait a while and ask myself as far as I can, the sort of first principle question. Is there any reason for me to do this again? Is there anything that I have in my mind that's interesting enough to devote the next 2 or 3 years writing so that a reader can then have the best of it? It takes me a while to come to the conclusion that either yes or no.
Well, I really enjoyed reading the book. The imagery, you know, turn the page and you bump into a line that you'll remember for a very long time.
I could say one more thing about it, I guess. You know, I was thinking about you liking those lines about Dell and Neva and what they were like. This is a book with a lot of action in it. As I said, banks get robbed, murders get committed, kidnappings occur, people are driven across national borders to escape the law. So it's not just a meditative book, but it's a book full of incident.
Yes. Thanks so much for joining us.